I'm Clayton Morgridge, and I have more to say about what today's Old Mole, as well as last week's, suggests about the vision and organization we need not only to resist Trump and Trumpism, but to build a far better society in which demagogues could find no place.
Now is the time for us to shuffle off the coil of mourning, shocked surprise, and anger at the election of Donald Trump as president. And as Todd Sloan pointed out on this program last week, it's also time to leave behind the fine-grained analysis of what went wrong in an attempt to locate the one or two things we might be able to fix. There was a multitude of interwoven factors and no single place to point the finger of blame. It's time to talk about what we do now. How do we respond to the coming barrage of attacks on civil liberties, including even the right to protest? How do we challenge the unraveling of environmental protections and rolling back of progress on climate change, the undermining of social services, not only programs for the very poor like Medicaid and welfare, but sources of support that keep the rest of us out of poverty, like Social Security and Medicare? The further privatization of public goods like schools, the post office, and increases in policing, criminalization, and profit-driven incarceration. And how do we respond to the demonization and harassment of Latinos and Muslims that is already underway, and to the plans for criminalization and mass deportations, and so on? Now, people often disempower themselves when faced by questions like these by asking, what can I as an individual do? And of course, the answer to that is very little. I can write letters, sign petitions, post and like things on Facebook, and plan to vote for better candidates in 2 years and in 4 years, but we know how futile such solitary actions can seem. But we are not alone. We are not first and foremost single and separate individuals. We can and must act together. One way to do this is by turning out for demonstrations, marches, and rallies. When we do this, we become part of something larger than ourselves. We feel ourselves to be an embodiment of the people who, when united, will never be defeated. Here in Portland and in other cities around the country, there have been massive protests against Trump and Trumpism. These crowds express powerful feelings of solidarity that are essential to effective political action, a solidarity that empowers us far beyond what any of us can do as individuals alone in our private spaces. But unless this energy is organized and develops a sense of direction, it does not last. People fall back into their habitual isolation, living, working, and consuming as mere individuals, related to each other only through the cash nexus, that is, by buying and selling. Organizations are, in fact, forming. Talking with the Old Mole's Denise Morris last week, Stephanie Luce remarked,
I mean, I think the protests are healthy. They're part of democracy, but there's all kinds of organizing work going on alongside that. Reports are coming in from around the country of emergency community meetings that are overflow crowds, 500 people, 1,000 people showing up in their neighborhoods to talk about next steps, organizations getting thousands of new members signing up, coming to meetings, money flowing in to campaign issues. So I'm encouraged by the fact that it's protests are good one thing, but it's not stopping there. People are also building the infrastructure they need to go forward.
And as an example today, we heard earlier on the Old Mole voices from the movement at Standing Rock that has succeeded in blocking, at least for now, the Dakota Access Pipeline, an action involving many thousands working together in focused, coordinated solidarity. That coordinated crowd of activists illustrates what we just heard Lynn Layton call the Native American respect for collective responsibility, In contrast with the individualism, the everyone for oneself mentality that is baked into our identity in neoliberalism. The first order of business for a resurgent and organizing left is resistance. The defense and protection of people who are being set up as victims by the new regime. Immigrants, Muslims, Latinos, African Americans, women, dissidents, and members of the LGBTQ community. But if we limit our objectives to resistance, we are letting the existing order of things off the hook. It was the way things are now, and as they have been for a long time, that created the complex of factors that produced the phenomenon of Trump. Even if Trump had lost to Hillary Clinton, wages for working people would still be stagnating, public services decaying, and the U.S. military would still be waging overt and covert wars around the world. We need an alternative vision of a good tomorrow, not just resistance against an impending catastrophe. That good future we envision must be far more than just a better regulated version of the existing order of things, for what lies at the foundation of that order is the right of private individuals to control the social wealth we all depend upon for life. As long as the institutions that we must work for in order to live, the institutions that produce the goods and services and means of education and communication that define our lives, as long as these institutions are managed in ways to maximize the profit and power of the very wealthy, any partial gains we make by taxing and regulating the rich will always be fragile and reversible. It is we the people united, not only in the streets but everywhere we are, who must become energized, organized, and dedicated to the project of replacing the private power of wealth with the public power of the people. Perhaps as it dawns on us that it is the system of private ownership that has reached its apotheosis in Trumpism, then the political energy now arising in protest may be able to find its focus in the goal of eliminating the system that has made Trumpism possible. I'm Clayton Morgeridge for the Old Mole Variety Hour.